This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest. Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I am your host, Terence Ford of redandblimey.co.uk, and the fact that you can hear my voice means some bad news. The international break is over, and Crystal Palace are returning to ruin our weekends. I've had to drag Albert and Sam kicking and screaming to do the podcast, but I'll attempt to raise their spirits with stories of raw chicken eating, open goal missing, ice hockey watching, and Mr. Bilal coming to the rescue of our beloved Eagles. Turning attention to Old Trafford, and well, it looks like another injury crisis has commenced, and our prospects look about as good as a turkey across the pond this week. Like a bus in Orpington, I'm burning to get started.
Love our podcasts. Listen to our live radio show on Love Sport every Thursday, 7 till 9 p.m., 558 a.m., DAB Digital Radio, and online, lovesportradio.com.
Under strict instructions from Sam, beer check.
Yeah, let's not leave it until the last minute this week.
Well, listeners, we are approximately an hour and a half later in recording this week than we normally are. No names, Albert. So we're going to try and get this done quick and snappy. I mean, we have no Manchester United fan because, quite frankly, I do not want to speak to Manchester United fans. So, go on. What are you drinking then, Hesketh?
Nice and snappy, red stripe.
We had a few of those the other night, which we'll get onto. And Albert, cup of tea?
My favourite sponsor of the Champions League ever, not Gazprom. I'm drinking some Amstel.
The Champions! Exactly. Yeah, Gypsy Hill beatnik for me. Right. So let's start with that. Sam, you took me to break my Streatham ice hockey cherry this week.
I did. I thought it would be a fun thing to do because there was no Palace. And I go as much as Palace will let me. And I thought, you know, top of the table clash, we're playing one of the big boys, the Peterborough Phantoms. It's all the big names in the hockey league. And you brought your lovely wife. I brought my lovely Millwall mate. And we got absolutely battered. It was probably the best performance by an opposition team I've seen in the like 6-7 years I've been going. And we lost 6-1, so we just went and got drunk.
Yeah, it was basically just like going to a Palace game. You managed to ruin the international break for me.
Sorry about that.
No, I must have missed my invite.
Oh, I thought you were on holiday again, Albert. You usually are.
I've been on holiday once in like 2 years.
Aren't you like a Watford Wanderers ice hockey fan? Wouldn't it have been trading? Do they have a team? I don't know.
I don't know, but I have. I've already been to see the Streatham Redskins at their first game at the new stadium.
Oh, you see what he's done there.
I went when they were playing at the back of Tesco's in Brixton in a little warehouse. So where were you when they were shit?
They're called the Red Hawks now, matey.
Well, there you go.
It's 2018. I actually say that on my screen at the moment on my TV. The Washington Redskins are playing American football. So there you go.
Streatham is more progressive than America. Who'd have thought?
Exactly.
America.
America. Donald Trump calling Paradise Pleasant this week, which was a particular favourite of mine in his forever ending, never ending train of stupidness. But I know I was saying that it's miserable coming back from the international break and all that, but I came home today and in my post box, I found something that could be coming to the rescue of Crystal Palace. Apparently, all I need to do is phone the mobile number at the bottom. This is a guy claiming to be called Mr. Bilal, spiritual healer specialist. Are you ready for what he promises, guys? He says, born from a strong family with a good reputation of family history in helping, guiding and solving people's problems of all nations. Consequently, he solves the following problems very rapidly. Relationships, return of loved ones, union, separations, break of unwanted marriages, fidelity of couples, creation of new love line for you to be loved forever, to be famous or successful person within days. Albert, one for you, sexual problems, impotency, infertility, and affection.
Enough of those, thank you.
But then this is where the Crystal Palace part comes in. Protection, breaking of bad luck and jinxes. This is it, right? This is going to solve all of our problems.
When's he coming on the show?
Well, I wish we could phone out because I would love to dial the number now and see if he can solve the bad luck of Christian Benteke, Alexander Sorloth. So just the list just goes on.
Literally every player at the moment.
And so then it just goes on to say solving immigration problems, court cases, to get rid of bad habits such as heavy drinking. Well, he's not lying, because if he solved the Crystal Palace problems, he would solve my problem of heavy drinking. So no matter what your problems are, just call Mr. Bilal today. So there you go, Mr. Bilal. What do we reckon? Shall we next show try and call him in? See if he can solve the issues in SE25?
Yeah, so give him a lid. Brexit can be number two. Number one can be anything Palace related.
Yeah, so I don't know. Steve Parrish might not want him to solve Brexit, but but talking of the striker crisis and, you know, injured Benteke, Sorloth obviously not scoring, although IU did find the net a couple of times in the African Cup of Nations qualifying, which we'll get to later. But we've been linked with a Bayern Munich striker, Albert. It's got to be good, right? Sandro Wagner?
Yeah. Is it good?
He's 6'4", got a little bit of, I don't know, he's got a bit of strength to him. Decent with the ball at his feet, can head the ball. I reckon he's 6'5". 5 goals in 8 games for Germany is not bad, is it, Eskiff?
No, it's not bad. I'm just waiting for you to tell me that he's also been linked with West Ham.
He has also been linked with West Ham.
Bingo.
What's his injury record like?
Probably exemplary until he steps foot into our training ground.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right, social media this week. I think the only place to really start is Patrice Evra doing God knows what to a chicken. Now, have both of you guys seen this?
I have.
Albert?
I caught a headline. I've not seen it.
So basically, for anyone who hasn't seen this video, Patrice Evra, for about a minute, just has a raw chicken in front of him. And he is like licking it, sucking its bones, kissing it. He lifts it up for a bit and spanks its booty for a bit. And then he starts eating. Then he starts eating it before at the end just saying, I love this game. Like, I don't know. And then he's had to come out and apologize about going too far. But Hesiev, did you see the Palace players' reactions to this?
I did. I thought it was very funny. One of them, I can't remember which way it was, said, you know, I love chicken, but this is taking it one step too far. It's taking it many, many steps too far, to be honest. But it was very funny. Wayne Hennessy left the room. He was not having any more of it.
Yeah, Hennessy left. I think, was it Sully Kaikai left? Mm-hmm. And Jason Punchin lasted the longest. He actually almost got to the end until he started eating a raw chicken, and that was enough for Jason Punchin. But then, obviously, the Palace reactions were then taken and overlapped onto a different video, which was Alex Sorloth missing from 6 yards out on open goal for Norway this week, which, I mean, the reactions did suit perfectly. Lots of, what is he doing? Did you see this, Miss Albert?
I've got it loaded up now in preparation. When I saw Sorloth miss on the list of bullet points, I just assumed we were talking about the Spurs game. Didn't realise there'd been another one.
I mean, it's pretty special. I mean, it's one of those chances. Here we go. It's one of those chances where when it comes to him, sometimes you see him put over, but not kind of where he puts it.
Here we go. Lovely pass. Oh, it's a lovely pass. He's through on goal. Oh, dear.
You thought it was the guy who had the shot that got saved. No.
Yeah. The guy that made the nice run, brought the ball down, shrugged off the defender. He does great work. The best thing about it is that Sorloth misses and then... but then proceeds to slide on his knees, almost like a goal celebration.
He's claiming it.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen it, listeners, go and look for it online. He puts it very high, wide and handsome. And it's one for Mr. Bilal to solve, I think.
Hey, listen, I think in Mr. Bilal's list of everything he could cure, I didn't hear the term miracle worker.
This is very true, but he did say he can make you a successful person within days. So, you know, I guess you have to define what successful is. And if you can't do it for football players on the field, then we're all stuffed. Right, we'll finish that there. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about our trip to the Theatre of Nightmares, I guess it is for us.
Love our podcast. Listen to our live radio show on LoveSport every Thursday, 7 till 9 p.m., 5:58 a.m., DAB Digital Radio, and online, lovesportradio.com.
It's a 3 p.m. kickoff, guys. Can you believe it? 3 p.m. I've forgotten what it was like. Sam, you'll even be able to get to the Red Hawks game.
Yeah. Make a dash back quickly. The thing is, though, because it's this time of year, it will still be bloody dark at 3 o'clock. So it won't feel like it.
Yeah. Albert, I assume you're not coming up to Manchester.
Nah, I'm not doing any of that rubbish.
Why is that? What you got on this better? You going to watch Watford again?
Nah, what have I got on? I've got a lot on this weekend. Very, very busy social weekend. And because it's a 3 o'clock game, it means it's not readily available on the TV, which means I won't feel obliged to sit and watch it and end up getting in a bad mood anyway. So, it's a bit like a death in the family. I'm keeping myself busy.
So, listeners, everyone bombard Albert with illegal links to his Twitter account, Facebook. If your friends are him on there, just spam him with illegal links so he does feel obliged to watch the game.
Because high def ones, please, because I do have to put it on a big projector.
Oh, how the other half live, right, Hesketh?
I know. Barely afford windows.
Yeah, he's projector in his conversion out back, which has terrible acoustics for recording podcasts. But I'm going up for the weekend. Best friend lives in Manchester, so me and the wife are going up to stay with them. I think it'll be Linda's first time to Old Trafford. I've only taken her to the good ones away before, you know. She's been to Hull, Sunderland. I think she's finally progressed now. Now that we're married, she's progressed to the better stadiums, I guess. She can come in.
You better have Mr. Bilal's number saved on the speed dial, mate.
0744, no. So, obviously, one of the problems of having many, many internationals is that injuries occur over the international break. And the first one to pop up was obviously Aaron Wan-Bissaka getting withdrawn from the England under 21 squad due to an injury that apparently picked up in the Spurs game. So Hesketh, I mean, it's an ideal position to get an injury in because, you know, your cover's injured. So what do we do if Wan-Bissaka's out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it was a precautionary thing and he's actually all right, because that'll mean he's had a couple of weeks off if he is actually injured. But the problem is, and I'm sure we'll go on to it, there's rumours that both of our centre-halves are doubtful as well. So you can't even say, put Kelly at right-back, because then who do you put a centre-back? So, you know, let's just do a Frank de Boer and play three at the back and put Luca in there. Maybe get Guaita in there as well, just for a laugh. And then whichever Man United player hasn't scored all season will score.
Yes. So Tompkins obviously hobbled off in the Spurs game, didn't he? And Mamadou Sakho, he picked up a back injury in playing the first half for France. His first game back for a while. But let's dwell on Sakho for a second, because obviously he had a little bit of an interview at some point over his international break and said, "My ambition remains the same. I want to play in the biggest competitions. Why not try for the Champions League? This summer, I could have taken different paths, but I chose to stay in England, and I don't regret it. We'll sit down and see at the end of the season." So on the surface of it, it looks like Mamadou Sakho might want to be getting out of the club. Hesketh, you said with your friend you've been having a mad debate about this today. So where do you sit on this?
Maybe a bit surprisingly for me, because I'm so miserable, it doesn't really bother me that he said it. I don't really know the context of the question, but I'm assuming he was interviewed whilst he was with the France squad. And bearing in mind France are the world champions and he's playing, you know, he's starting from, someone probably said, you know, do you want to play in the Champions League? It'd be weird if he said no. I know he said we will talk about it in the summer and all that, but, you know, if we go down, let's say, I hope we don't, obviously, but if we do, then of course we're going to talk to him about it. You know, I like Sakho. I think he's a good player. He has the odd moment of madness, and I know that, you know, it's cost us a couple of times, Bournemouth, and I was annoyed of him in that game. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I'm just not fussed that he said it. You know, if Tonk said it or if Wilf said it, it doesn't bother me.
So Albert, do you think he's good enough to play Champions League football?
Well, he left Liverpool for what was rumoured to be more personal reasons with Klopp, but you look at some of the dross that Liverpool do play at the back, at centre-half, and you do think that just based purely on ability, Sakho could do a job there. But as Sam's alluded to, he likes to take a risk. He loves a bit of a Cruyff turn on the edge of the area. You don't see that often in the Champions League. But just based on pure ability, he is decent enough to play in the competition, and not necessarily for an English club. You know, there's a whole raft of European clubs he could probably slot into. One thing's for sure, when I first read it, I thought he meant, you know, what could push for the Champions League with us. And I know I thought my initial reaction was, I know he's a bit mental, but that's just stupid. That is just stupid. But he's got to be doing something, right? Because, you know, is it Aymeric Laporte at City? You know, can't, for love nor money, can't seem to get into the French national team, but Mamadou Sakho can after a 2-year absence whilst playing for a struggling Premier League club. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously, you know, we all know he's got the pedigree, but I think it's the temperament that would probably stop him, you know, slotting into a serious Champions League contender.
Yeah, I don't think that will last for much longer. Laporte will start to get in. I think Sakho was probably only just getting some minutes, you know, traveled in the last squad, didn't get playing time. So I think it was probably more just getting him sort of just some minutes against weaker opposition and so on. But the big question is going to be, obviously, we spaffed a lot of money on him, 30 million, big enough contract we're not going to sell him for any less than the 30 million we bought him for. So outside of the Premier League, can you see anyone paying 30 million for him, Sam?
No, I can't. I think maybe he does have a bit of a reputation for you know, like we mentioned, having a bit of a, you know, brain melt every now and again where he tries to, yeah, backheel someone in the 6-yard box or something. But it's tough because the inflated prices that we pay in this country probably aren't going to get paid for by teams outside of this country. So if we spend 30 million on him or 30 million on Benteke, it's hard to see where we're going to get that money back. So no, I don't think we get 30 million for him, to be honest. And I don't know how many clubs will be lining up to take him. I'm sure there'll be some. But yeah, I know. I mean, you know, there are some people I know that aren't too enamored with him, which I understand because, you know, when he does have his, when he does mess about it, you know, it looks very bad. But I think I think he's a really good player. So I'm sure there'll be some interest. But yeah, we're not going to get 30 million for him if we sell him.
Yeah. And I can't see us, you know, if you look with Benteke, well, we bought Benteke from Liverpool. They didn't want to make a loss on him. And someone come along and paid the money. And I think it will reflect quite badly on us if we just sell him at a cut price. I just don't really think we will. He'll be on our balance sheet for 30 million. And I just really cannot imagine us selling him for any less. So he could end up with him throwing his toys out the pram as apparently he's done in the past. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. But like you said, back at the start, you know, he's right. If someone asks him, do you want to play Champions League football? And he says no, it would be weird. So, you know, it all comes down to the context of the question. And, you know, he's an ambitious player and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know, I think when he signed for us, we were showing ambition to try and move on a bit. When we had him on loan, we were doing well. And then we, you know, we were trying to become that team that finishes 7th or 6th or tries to push up the league. Obviously, it's not materialized that like that, despite spending lots of money and, you know, keeping hold of Zaha and so on. But, you know, that's how it's gone. And, you know, 30 million, it's not the toughest position to replace, I don't think. So we could probably do it a little bit cheaper than that. But there you go. But Albert, Hesketh said there, joking around, move the three at the back, stick Riedewald in there and blah, blah, blah. So if let's just assume the worst, at Wan-Bissaka, Tompkins and Sacco's all out, what's your back four against Man United?
Well, it's not a back four for a start. I mean, you probably have to go something like PVA, wing back, and Joel Ward.
I don't think he's going to be fit enough to play yet, is he? He's still recovering from his knock. So
was he not on the bench against Spurs?
Did he make the bench?
Joel Ward. I'm sure I saw him warming up.
Okay. Well, he's a very good looking man, so he would be difficult to miss on the sideline there.
Well, that's your issue. What's my back? Yeah, tell me who's available and I'll try and cobble something together.
Yeah, well, it just becomes a centre-back, doesn't it? So,
I mean, Kouyaté can play centre-half. I know that's quite a desperate stretch from almost playing Luka at centre-half, but, you know, he has dropped in there for West Ham a few times, so that's an option.
Well, West Ham fans seem to suggest that's his best position as well, which is... which would be very interesting to see how that works. So yeah, Joel Ward was on the bench against Spurs. So let's assume that Joel Ward can slot in at right back. So I would assume that frees Kelly up to play centre back if that was the case. And then, I guess the forgotten man, he's played a few times in the under-23 test, if Scott Dan.
Yeah, I thought he got another like thigh strain or something.
Oh God, has he joined the Connor Wickham's club of groin strains?
I mean, I think, you know, if he's fit, then yeah, maybe put him on the bench if we have to. But I'm worried about the game anyway. I'll be honest, I always am. But I'd be worried if our starting 11 had Scott Dan in it at this point.
But he might be able to score some goals.
Get him up front. Yeah,
put him up front.
Haven't we tried that at some point? Didn't De Boer do that? Against Burnley, I feel like he put him up front against Burnley.
Yeah. And he missed a sitter.
Absolute sitter. Could have saved his job. We could be on a European tour now with Frank De Boer at the helm. That's what could have happened if Scott Dan put that in the back of the net.
That would have been nice, if only for the fact that it rhymes.
So we're assuming the worst. I think it's right. PVA, if Ward isn't quite ready, I imagine you could perhaps move Schlupper in there maybe and switch Van Aanholt to the other side. I don't know, but Yeah, it will probably be, it would likely be Kelly and Kouyaté, I'd imagine, is how it would end up being. But hopefully Tompkins has recovered enough to play. Hopefully Saka has as well, I guess, and Wan-Bissaka, obviously. But obviously, it's Thursday. We have a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. But, you know, Roy Hodgson has decided to leave his press conference again out of Thursday because why not? Just does it to grind my gears. Something else that grinded my gears in this international break was Jordan Ayew scoring twice for Ghana. Albert, a lot of people discredited the goals because they came against Ethiopia, but do you think that's fair? They're still international goals in a qualifying tournament.
You can only beat what's put in front of you. And if that's an Ethiopian national side, who are we to take that away from Jordan Ayew?
I mean, one of them was a penalty as well. So at least we know if Luca's not on the pitch, we know we can take our penalties now. Heskey, it's got to be good for his confidence though, right? To go away, get a couple of goals, a couple of very important goals in that qualifying campaign. And he's got to come back now feeling a bit fresher and feel like that weight's lifted from his shoulders.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, he hasn't really done much in front of goal for us. He looked crap when we played Dulwich Hamlet in that friendly. So I don't know what level they're at compared to Ethiopian national.
Didn't do much in front of our goal for the goal we conceded.
Oh, I forgot about that, Albert.
I mean,
I'm angry now.
Do you want to touch on it?
Yeah, I hated him when I saw that replay back on telly.
I got home that night. I went to a birthday party after, got absolutely levered, lost my wallet. Got home at like 1 a.m. and it was like, let me see what everyone's complaining about Ayew. And I don't know why I did it.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. I'll try and be positive. I'm glad that he's all against Ethiopia. that's it. I don't know what else to say about Jordan Ayew. I can't see him taking on Man United away and leading us to glory. I can't see it. So let's hope the Ethiopian goals or the goals against Ethiopia prove me wrong. That's positive, isn't it?
You did all right there. I can.
It's as good as it's going to get, I'll be honest.
I can hear the strain in your voice. So we'll move on. And for something, you know, a little bit more lighter, Wilfried Zaha could possibly still be out. So there you go.
Brilliant. Brilliant. The three of us were in a pub before the Tottenham game, and a text sort of went around from various people saying, oh, Wilf might be out. Just at that moment, it started absolutely tipping down with rain. Then the confirmation came through that indeed Wilf was out on his birthday. Terry assured us that it wasn't Wilf's birthday party that he was going to. I'm still undecided on that. But then, it was just like, well, it's cold and wet outside, and I think we're going to lose anyway, and now Wilf's not playing.
At the time when you said Wilf's out on his birthday, I thought, well, what's the problem there? We all go out on our birthday, don't we? You know, like, and then it turned out that, yeah, you meant he was actually out of the game.
Unfortunately so.
We're not cynical enough to think that those two things are related, are we?
Well, especially not when I've seen a footballer who plays in Russia get sent off on purpose so he could fly back to Argentina and watch Boca Juniors.
That was quality. I mean, you've got to take into account that Boca versus River is obviously a very huge game, and the fact that they're meeting in the South American equivalent of the Champions League final, it's a pretty big deal. So, a lot of ex-players have been doing that sort of thing, getting injured and trying to go out there. Lamella did it as well. Lamella flew out very, very early to go and watch the game. So, I mean... I hope he's back. I was invited to his birthday party, but I had someone else's birthday party to go to and they'd invited me first. So I sadly couldn't make it to Will's one. And probably because it would have just been in some shitty club in Croydon as well. So like Shush or something. Is that still there with its sticky carpets? I don't know.
Oh my God.
You know, he posted an Instagram post saying counting down the days with a football on it. So I'm assuming, I reckon he's probably going to be back for this game. And, you know, every time he's played at Old Trafford for us since, he's had a really good game there. So hopefully I'll be able to turn it on there again because obviously he's got some points to prove. Obviously in the opposition lineup, perfect timing, Albert. Jesse Lingard for England has hit form at last, scored a couple of goals. So just in time to play against us.
Well, he's, you know, he's got previous form against us anyway before hitting actual consistent form. So the stage is set, isn't it? More heartbreak. He'll do that, you know, celebration that he does, and he'll probably be wearing gloves, and you know, it'll be a good day for him.
Is it the gloves the biggest problem there?
No, I don't. No, listen, I was wearing gloves today. If anyone, you know, anyone wants to make anything of it.
Are you calling people out on the podcast?
No.
You want to make something of it? I was wearing gloves. What?
No, nah, look, we're not going to win, are we? We're not going to win. So I don't care if Jesse Lingard scores. I don't care who scores.
Was it boxing gloves you were wearing today?
No, they're Crystal Palace ones, actually.
Crystal Palace ones.
With touch screen ability, now, thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. I've got those leather ones from Marks and Spencer with touch rings. Great gloves.
This is very millennial. This podcast is very millennial.
But what I have seen this week, and it's been a growing trend since the World Cup, is Palace fans starting to claim that they like Jesse Lingard. Hesketh, has he won you over?
No, of course he hasn't. What a question. I mean, we've touched on this before. I don't really care for international football that much. Okay, I just don't really care about it. But yeah, during the World Cup, obviously the England fever took over, which I understand. It's, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, no.
But it's Jesse Lingard. It's Jesse Lingard, man. We would have won the FA Cup if it wasn't for him. I hate him, and he's, oh, I've got this little hashtag. Oh, you don't give yourself a hashtag. I hate you.
But yeah, I saw a lot of very prominent Palace fans on social media talking about when he said, who said I don't score tap-ins, with a picture of him scoring from 1 yard out for England, obviously against Croatia. And yeah, I saw a lot of Palace fans like saying, stop being likable and things like this, and saying he's won me over.
Listen, the only 1 yard tap-in that matters is Fraser Campbell's against Reading in the Cup, where he smashed it in from a yard. Fraser Campbell can do what he wants. Jesse Lingard can go to hell. That's how I feel about Jesse Lingard.
I'm going through a similar conflicted relationship with Harry Redknapp at the moment. I've gone into watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, thinking, I want
kangaroo balls in his mouth.
Yeah, and then he, you know, he's got a few good stories and comes across as all right, and I have to leave the room.
No, this is going to sound awful, but did you see the stories today that his older son has been arrested on some drug charge? And what I just looked at a picture, and he's just ugly, but his younger brother is Jamie Redknapp. Just like, you've got all of the terrible genes. You're ugly, you didn't end up becoming a professional footballer, and now you're just smashing drugs.
No wonder he's on the Bugle.
Right.
Allegedly, do we have to say
I don't know, it was in the Daily Mirror or something, so it's probably accurate. And I think there's no better way to end talking about our trip to Old Trafford.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Right, let's get some predictions. Heske, if you went 2-0 to Spurs, didn't you? Or was it 3?
I think I went 1-0. I think I got it perfect
did
again.
Did you really? 2 weeks, two games mm-hmm. running?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Me yeah. and Albert went for wins, which...
Did I?
Yeah, I feel like you did.
Did we not write these down somewhere? Do we have to bloody listen back to our own podcast?
I do write them down in the thing, and... he's been marked down as 0 points in the prediction league, so I'm assuming he got 0. The good news is Ed Kellaway got it right again, so like he's just absolutely flying off into the sunset. No one's ever going to catch him for the rest of the season. But yeah, I think I went for a 2-1 win. You know, if Sorlot would have scored, you know, we might have, I don't know.
If you
had headed the ball, yeah.
Moved.
Yeah. I mean, what else? Could you imagine getting stared down by Sacco as Luca is absolutely levering you with abuse? Could you imagine? I would just be, substitution, please take me off. Right, the poll this week, we've gone no input from you guys this week. You know, I thought Albert was too busy hobnobbing with media moguls and Hesketh, you know, he was cleaning up vomit in the hallways of your university, right?
No comment.
So no way, Jose, for a Palace win. 17% of you mental people have gone for that. United for a draw is 10%, and same old Trafford for a loss, and that's 73% of people have probably wisely picked that option. Our listener predictions this week. This comes from a guy, fan of the pod. Very nice of your comments today, Nathan Jones. But it says after his name, Nathan Jones Psychotherapy. And his prediction is, getting my prediction in early, first away day of the season for me, 2-0 Palace, Luca Penn and Maya. He probably needs to dish himself out some therapy, doesn't he, Hesketh?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Here's one straight out of your bags, though. Matt Burrows, 3-0 United, and me putting my open return to good use by catching the 5:15 train home after leaving after 70 minutes.
That's a solid prediction.
And Stephen Ronan's gone 1-1 with Big Alex Sorlot scoring in the 94th minute to equalise.
Was that Harry Redknapp's eldest son predicting that one?
Of the back of the Nest crew, clean sweeper losses again with Patrick O'Connor going for the biggest one, 4-1 loss. I mean, we were talking about this the other week. Patrick O'Connor has somehow turned into Hesketh Mark II. He's gone from being the most positive Palace fan I ever knew to the most miserable in the space of like a year and a half.
I'm just sitting here rubbing my hands, cackling at that.
I'm so glad you said hands.
Right, so go on, Albert. What's it going to be?
It's going to be classic. It's going to be like most of the United games we've had in the Premier League. They're going to be shit. We're going to make Marouane Fellaini look like Rivaldo. And obviously, as Sam alluded to earlier, obviously there's a goal drought in sort of the general Romelu Lukaku and Alexis Sanchez areas. So they're going to win 2-0 with both of those two scoring.
And Hesketh?
Yeah, I agree with a 2-0. It'll definitely be 2. It'll be, you know, like in the last few games, I said, I think we'll play well. Like, we'll play well against Tottenham, we'll play well against Chelsea, but they'll just nick it. I think we'll be crap on Saturday. I think we'll be crap. I think Man United will be average and they'll score in the middle of each half. Pogba and Lingard. So, what's going to happen is you won't know where I'm sat at Old Trafford, but when Lingard scores, you'll hear this like ungodly noise. That'll be me. So just follow that noise and that'll be me.
Can we get a little preview of the ungodly noise?
I've only had one can of beer, so no. but yeah, I'm going 2-0 Man U.
Well, I was going to go 2-0 as well, so I'll avoid a clean sweep of 2-0s and I'll go 3-0 with Lukaku to score 2 and Fellaini to score like a real like shithouse header. That's what's going to happen. Right, I think that's all for this week. We're just going to finish here.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone listening across the pond. I hope you've been enjoying your pumpkin pies and your turkeys and the American football and whatever else goes
cooked
on.
Turkeys, I hope.
Cooked turkeys, yeah. Don't
none of that raw nonsense.
Yes, don't do Patrick ever, kids. It's it's bad. And that includes you, Harry Redknapp's oldest son. So next week we have got, we go into a run of games, which I think we have to win basically, don't we? Well, we got Burnley, Brighton and some other nonsense team down there. So we'll be back next week. Who is it?
We say Burnley, Brighton, and we got, isn't Leicester in there?
Yeah, we whip them all the time, don't we? So we'll obviously just beat them 5-0 like we did last season, I'd imagine. we'll be back next Thursday as usual. Neither of you are away. We're the gang, right?
Yeah, we're set now, I think.
Yeah, try and be on time this week, you two.
Says Late But, as his name is in the chat. But anyway, thank you for listening, and we will be back next Thursday when we'll be raving about a very surprising Palace win against Man United. But until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.